What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Certified Dubtician, presented by Puck and Flamingo. I'm Andrew. This is my buddy Steve. How you doing, man?
Great as always, man. Great as always.
Right on. Welcome to another episode, episode 2 of Certified Dubticians.
And honestly, probably my favorite episode.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah,
I'm pretty excited.
If you guys want to hear a biased episode, this is the one.
100%.
So if you listen to episode 1, we covered two WHL teams, and we will cover two WHL teams until the start of the regular season, which is October. There's 22 teams, so that's 11 weeks. I know my math's a little bit off, but we have some other episodes in there that we're going to slide in for you guys, and you can kind of get some specials in. So today, who are we talking about, Steve? Go ahead.
Well, first we're going to talk about the Kelowna Rockets, and they're a pretty good team as well. I'm a little biased with the Kamloops Blazers here. Living in Kamloops for the last 5 years, became a huge Blazers fan.
Rightfully so.
I have a weird. I don't know what the word would be, but how I went, my progression, I guess, through the WHL is I started off a huge Vancouver Giants fan. And then for those who don't know or may not be too familiar with the WHL, the Chilliwack Bruins came in for a short tenure. And then I became a pretty good Chilliwack fan living in Chilliwack. I became a pretty big fan there. And then moving up to the Kamloops, I got hugely into the Blazers, and they have a very deep player roster of people who made it to the NHL and made it to the Hall of Fame, actually. It'll be good to get into them.
Yeah, the stadium's on Mark Recchi Road.
Yeah,
hint.
I actually cool little story. I used to work with Mark Recchi's niece. Shout out to Rain.
Insert tag here.
There you go. It's pretty cool. He's very popular out there.
Yeah.
The most famous, even though there's been bigger names go through, he's probably one of the bigger, most famous names being from Kamloops. So
he just got inducted into the Philadelphia Flyer Hockey Hall of Fame, didn't he?
Sure did. Yeah. He did.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the start. We got a little sidetracked there with our Kamloops enthusiasm, which, hey, man, like, no, seriously, justified. They have probably the richest history in the WHL. They're definitely the BC division. They definitely, and by the looks of it, they're going to take over that division again next year.
They were number one in the BC division last year. Sure. And have a very promising year this year, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but
yeah they got a lot of returnees. But yeah, we'll start with the Rockets, because I've got a lot of love for Kelowna too. That was always, whenever I was playing in NHL since the NHL, I don't know when it started, just the last few years, I think, would be a pro mode where you could choose a CHL team to start. Mm-hmm. I've always chosen the Rockets.
Funny you bring up NHL, because I used to play in something called the LG, which is like ECHL or EASHL. Nice. So like you can pick one player. Yeah. Everyone owns a team, so there's the CHL, the AHL, and the NHL. You work your way up to the top against all live players, and I was drafted by the Rockets. So
nice. Nice.
Managing NHL, but we'll bring that up.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, they've had a pretty good team always too. I've never lived in Kelowna, for the record. I've just always dreamed of it. One day will, for sure. I'm a Vancouverite myself. So I am also a huge Giants fan. So don't get me wrong there. So today's about the Kelowna Rockets, and they finished third in the BC division last year. First was Kamloops, obviously. Second was Vancouver, I think, if I'm not mistaken. They had Kelowna had a 10-5-1 record last year. They only played 16 games due to COVID-19.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every other team played 22. Kelowna missed 5 games. So to have 21 points and tie Prince George and Vancouver only having 24. I mean, the Rockets have a promising season this year.
Right. And sorry, I just want to state that the division, the title was presented by win percentage, not total points. Yes. Because every team played 22 games except for the Kelowna Rockets. So to make it fair, they had to go by win percentage and not total points.
Total points, exactly. But even that, I think that was the deal between the tiebreaker between the Rockets and the Cougar, because they both had 21 points and the Rockets finished there, the Cougars finished below them. Yeah. I believe that's kind of how it went. That's why that went there. Either way, yeah. I mean, they have a very promising team this year, and I have a feeling it's going to be Kamloops, Kelowna, Vancouver in those top three battling it out. So
for the BC division, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. The West gets a little bit tougher down south, actually. Like, I'm really looking forward to talking about those teams.
There's some highly skilled teams down there.
Very skilled teams. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that's not today's podcast. So let's talk about point leaders from Kelowna last year. So Trevor Wong led the way. He is actually from Vancouver. So shout out Trevor. Six goals, 10 assists, and 16 points in the 16 games played. He's a centerman, 5'9", 155 pounds. The previous year, he only had 14 points in 58 games. So he got more points in much less. He's a point per game player this year. So that's a really good look. Steve, how old is he? Do you got him there?
I think, are we talking about Trevor Wong here?
Mm-hmm. I don't have it in front of me, sorry.
2003.
Okay, he's back.
Yeah, he'll be back. He was a first round draft pick at 18th overall. Yeah, like you were saying before, he had 58 games with only 14 points. And I think the big thing to notice there was he was minus 10 with 32 penalty minutes. So I think that's going to be something he needs to break. But he must put he put more points in, you know, a third of the games, but still with eight penalty minutes. So we're going to see how that goes. He has a plus four, a little bit better on track. But that's the one thing that kind of worries me is his minus 10 from last year. So.
Yeah, but I mean, the team did okay. They weren't anything to brag about. Again, 16 games. It's hard to judge a team's season.
Well, that was from the 56 games. So not last year, the year before last.
Oh,
year.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was minus 10. He was plus four in that 16 game. So he's showing a lot of promise last year, but the year before, that minus 10 kind of throws me off a little bit.
I mean, it was also like a pretty strong offensive year for Kelowna. I mean, all things considered, they have another player here we're going to talk about who he was absent last year, I believe. But in 2019-2020, he was drafted 13th overall in the 2019 import draft from the Czech Republic, Pavel Novak. He's 5'10", 170, right winger. Now this guy's impressive. I mean, I'll throw up some highlights on YouTube. So if you're listening on the pod, go check it out.
As a rookie, he put up 58 points in 55 games, 25 goals, 33 assists. I mean, that in itself, as a rookie is very, very impressive. Highly skilled.
Yeah, sorry. And before I move on to Pavel, I should just say what I was going to say is that even though they had a few key players leave their roster last year, Kelowna did, and their offense actually improved from 2.87 to 3.62 goals per game on average. So that's not too bad. Their highest average mark is 3.88 from 2017-2018. So. It got worse and then it got better. So, that's promising signs. And, back to Pavel Novak, he doesn't have to come back. He doesn't have to play, right? That's the risky thing about the import draft. Now, usually teams, you know, they'll scope out a player. They'll see what he wants. It also makes a difference if he's been drafted to the NHL because the NHL team has a say in where they want him to develop.
Which he has. He was drafted in the fifth round by Minnesota.
Right, 146. Mm-hmm. He's 19. So he's still eligible to play in the CHL, but he's been playing in the Czech Republic for the last little while. Now, again, that could be due to COVID. We really don't know. There's no roster set or anything. So we don't know if he's returning next year. If he does, that would be huge. Like if he returns, that'll be a huge boost to the Kelowna offense.
I mean, if he does return, he's going to be their top scorer. There's no doubt about it. This kid, once he fills out a little bit and gets a little bit more power, I think he can make that transition to the NHL, and we'll be able to see him in the NHL doing things. Even as a fifth round pick, he has that kind of talent, and like you guys will see in the highlight video here, the things he does is incredible as a 19-year-old, right?
Yeah, and kind of like I touched on before, I mean, he wasn't able to return from Europe last year, and they still put up strong offensive numbers. Kyle Topping, Matthew Redmond, they both aged out. Nolan Foote started his pro career. So, I mean, to just the fact that those guys weren't even in the roster for the 16 games, and obviously Trevor Wong stepped up like we talked about, that's good signs. You know, if some of these guys do return, Pavel Novak, I mean, Trevor will return. You know, and the next guy on my list is Caden Korzak. Now, I think he's very unlikely to return. But if he did, again, he's a defenseman. So, but still, his numbers were quite impressive for someone who's projected to be a stay-at-home defenseman.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's going to be fun to see him play this year. I can't wait to go see a Rockets game here, to watch him play and see what he can do. I also think the biggest thing too is that with the Rockets is that they're gonna be missing, they're gonna be losing a few 20-year-olds. One that came to mind to me was David Cope. He was acquired by them to the Seattle Kings the past summer, a 6'4", 175-pound forward, power forward. He had a point per game last year, and then the year before he had 37 points in 59 games for the Oil Kings. He's someone that's going to be missed, just the size himself, being able to get down low and make plays like that.
Yeah, the Kelowna has 6 overagers, so you know they only have 3 spots on the roster. And those 6 could be increased to 7 if Korzak were to be sent down back to Kelowna. Just in case people don't know, Caden Korzak, he's probably, you know, he was one of the biggest names, definitely probably the biggest name in the BC division last year. In the games prior to last season, he had 11 goals, 38 assists, 49 points in 60 games as a defenseman. He was drafted 11th overall in the first round by Kelowna. And he was drafted in the second round, 41st overall, by the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, he actually spent time on their taxi squad during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He didn't see any ice time. But I would be shocked if he didn't play in the AHL next year. He turns 21 in February, I think. Or maybe after that, but he's eligible to play in the CHL.
Yeah, at end of January. And 29th of January. So,
yeah,
he is eligible. Second round pick from Vegas, 41st overall. The biggest stat that impressed me from that 2019-20 season, the one with 60 games played and 49 points, was his 180 shots on net.
Yeah.
As a defenseman, right? Almost a point per game that season at 0.82. He's not afraid to let go, and he's got a shot. So
yeah, he chucked Nux. He has a wicked shot. Maybe I'll throw up some highlights here too on YouTube. Like his release is impressive.
It's impressive as well as accurate, and I feel like a lot of assists come off of either him placing shots off a goalie where it has to be a rebound and easy tap-ins, or getting deflected in. He knows where to put the puck, and how hard to put it there, right? He's really good at reading that, reading the goalie and how the goalie's going to play in that circumstance. So if he does return, that's going to be a huge boost for Kelowna. But like Braun said, it's a big if.
Yeah, I think the biggest question mark for Kelowna, not only their overagers, right, because they have so many and they have such little room. They can only keep two, right? I believe two 20-year-olds.
Three, is it?
Is it three?
It's three. I believe it's three. You can keep three 20-year-olds.
Sorry.
Per season.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's two European players. Three 20-year-olds, two European players. So they're overagers. They've got to make a decision, you know, six, potentially seven. That'll be a tough call. That's probably the biggest question mark. And the next might be goaltending.
Yeah.
Roman Bassarin. And he was pretty much their number one through the 2019-2020 campaign. Last year he split the crease with Schwebius. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Do you know how to say that? Cole Schwebius. Schwebius.
I butchered names worse than you do,
but yeah. Schwebius. Anyways, we'll call him Cole. Schwebius? We'll call Schwebius? Him Cole.
I think Schwebius.
Is it Schwebius?
Schwebius.
I don't know. It's like,
there's two Coles. Like, you can't call Cole.
I know there is two Coles. Fuck's sake. Cole S.
Yeah, it's great six again, boys.
Yeah. So anyways, Cole actually posted better numbers than Bastion, but I think they're both overagers, if I'm not mistaken. So Kelowna is only likely to keep one, and then that'll open up space for a couple players battling for a backup spot. And there's the other Cole Tisdale.
Yep.
And Nicholas Cristiano, who I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And I hope he gets he played for the Chilliwack Chiefs, I think, in the BCHL.
Yeah. Chilliwack Chiefs being a pretty solid team in the BCHL as well.
Yeah.
If he can make that jump and that transition to the WHL.
He's only 16.
Yeah. So, I mean, he'll have a year or two to develop probably, but if he can get on the team and get that experience, he can be a huge asset to them in the back end.
Yeah, he had one showing last year. He made 31 saves against the Victoria Royals, and they won the game, I believe. He only allowed one goal, I think I saw. His statistics were...
The odds that they won that game is probably pretty high considering Victoria won three games. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, as a betting man, I take those odds.
Yeah. So, no, yeah, his record was 1-0-0 with a 1.0 goals against average and a 0.969 save percentage, so...
You know who I'm excited for, though?
Not bad for a 16-year-old.
There's one player we haven't talked about who I'm very, very excited to see play, and that's Andrew Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
The rookie. He was drafted 8th overall from Kelowna in 2020.
Yeah.
This kid, coming out of a bantam, he played in St. George Elite League, or whatever they call it there, or their U15 prep team, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He set the record for 43 goals. 37 assists, 80 points. So he set the in 27 games played, guys. Bam. So he's almost putting up 3 points a game. He's averaging almost two goals a game, more than two goals a game, or close to. Sorry, it's insane. Like in the 14 games played, he only had 5 points. But that was his first small transition to it. Going in as a 17-year-old now.
Yeah. He had two
goals, three assists, plus three. The only thing is that he only had 11 shots on goal as well. He's a goal scorer, and once he gets that confidence, he's going to start putting pucks in the back of the net. There's no doubt about it. But he's my up-and-comer for the Rockets and the guys to look out for.
Yeah, I agree. I think on their back end, I mean, they're pretty solid. I read an article saying that if this was a normal year, that Korzak might have been trade bait to try and make up some picks that they lost for their Memorial Cup team that they traded away.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a lot of rookies. They have a lot of young talent in their lineup as well, right?
Yeah, they last year they had 10 rookies, including four 16-year-olds. That's including Andrew Crystal, who is the one we just talked about there.
Mm-hmm.
So will these guys pan out is kind of more the question. Maybe because Korzak was an if he was going to come back for his last year, they want to get rid of him just to try to beef up this young core and go for another run.
Like I said, they did lose some assets for their Memorial Cup team, but it's not like they're, I don't think they're lacking, like you say. On the back end, they're Elias Carmichael, you know, he had 6 points in 14 contests. After posting 10 points in 59s last year during his rookie campaign.
Yeah.
So that's another improvement, you know, and it's a small one. Well, actually it's quite a big improvement actually. You know, he's on pace for a lot more points.
No, exactly. And there's some of these young guys too. There's William Irvine, who posted before he came to Kelowna, played for the U18 team and put up 52 points in 42 games. So, 91 penalty minutes. So, we'll see how that goes on the back end. But I mean, for a point per game as on a U18 team is still pretty solid. He has that potential to hopefully make that jump.
Yeah. Sorry. And kind of going back to the draft pick situation. So, I mean, they're supposed to showcase the Memorial Cup in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously they want to be contenders. There's no real true trade deadline this year to regain picks. So they currently only have a third round choice in 2021 and a fifth round pick in 2022 from the first 10 rounds of the next two prospect drafts.
Yeah. So they're going to need to offload some of this, maybe higher end talent. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe guys potentially. Like Trevor Long, potentially, right?
Well, they do have a second and a fifth round in 2023. Mm-hmm. Plus all of their picks in the first five rounds for 2024. So do you risk selling your future? Like again, you know, just to be competitive for 1 week. That's kind of a big question.
That is a tough question. As an owner, if I was the owner of the Rockets or the GM, I would try to make my team as best as possible for that guaranteed invite to the Memorial Cup. For those who haven't seen it, if you're a host team for Memorial Cup, you're automatically put in no matter where you are placed. So the Rockets could be the worst team in the league in the division and still make it to the Memorial Cup just because they are the host team. So I think that's your end game. You want to build the best team to put out on the ice for your to show the world, basically.
Yeah.
Guaranteeing that spot there, right? So
You want to definitely do. You have to. I mean, field you ice a team. You know.
Yeah.
Something competitive.
You won't be getting embarrassed out there, blowing out every 7-2, 7-1 every game, or even 9-1.
Right.
That we've seen in some Memorial games, Memorial Cup games. So.
Yeah, and as a bit of a transition into our next team here, did you see the Kamloops Blazers just like sending little chirps saying. Right now I think it's between Lethbridge, Kamloops. Lethbridge and Kamloops want to host the Memorial Cup. I think Kelowna is the favorites. I don't think it's decided yet.
Oh, okay.
But Kamloops is like basically saying like we have a better team. It's either they literally said that we have a better team, so we should host it.
That's not wrong though.
Dan. The thing is, I don't know if don't put me on the record here because I don't know if it's already decided and they're saying we should have got it, or if it's not decided, they're saying we should get it. There's shots fired either way.
Either way, it's gonna be nice. I'm gonna be getting tickets to either Kelowna or Kamloops. I believe Kelowna was supposed to host it, and then with COVID, it got canceled. So I think that's why Kelowna is the front runner, because they got kind of snubbed on their chance too, which is probably why they're leaning to that. And Kamloops is just trying to make their case as well as Lethbridge to try maybe pull some votes over their way. But I think it's probably on being in Kelowna. Just they had the chance to miss it there last year. So
yeah. Okay, so yeah, let's move on to Kamloops. Let's talk about why they have such a good team. Why, Steve, you tell me why. Actually, look, I know you have a lot to say, so I'll tell you why I think they should host the Memorial Cup first, and then you can tell me why you do.
Sounds good.
So first of all, if you missed the season last year, Kamloops dominated. They only lost 4 games. It was 18 wins, 4 losses, 0 ties. They captured back-to-back division titles for the first time since they won the conference in 94 and 95, which was the end of their Memorial Cup dynasty era.
Yeah. I won 3 in 4 years or something like that, I think it was.
Yeah. They also set franchise records last year, 2, I believe. The first was a season point percentage at 0.818, which surpassed the previous mark of 0.785 set in 1986-1987. The Blazers also posted their best goals against per game of 2.31, which beat their previous watermark of 2.50 from the 2012-2013 season. So they basically broke franchise records in offense and defense in the same year.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely stacked team from the goaltending out. They have, in my opinion, the most deep team in the BC, at least the BC division, if not the whole WHL. The US division is obviously pretty stacked. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that a little bit later. But starting with the goaltending, I mean, Garand, the guy's absolutely stud. He was a 4th round pick for the New York Island or New York Rangers, sorry. Mm-hmm. His 2019-2020 season put up 42 games with 90 goals against, a 2.21 goals against, 28 wins, 10 losses, 3 ties, with a 9.21 save percentage, and which is the same save percentage he put up in the shortened season here, the 2021 season.
Yeah.
Where he had 18 games played, 15 wins, 3 losses, and again the 0.921 save percentage. This kid, I got to see him play live. Mm. An absolute stud. He got to play behind, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say he's 2002 born, so he'll be back for sure.
Victoria.
Yeah, he won silver with Canada at the World Juniors. And he'll likely be the starting goaltender for that squad again this December. I think he's got some competition from the Edmonton Oil Kings, but
yeah, I mean, he's my pick, as biased as it might be.
Yeah.
but I mean, he got to play behind Dylan Ferguson for those Blazers fans that knew who Dylan Ferguson is. He was drafted to the Vegas Knights, plays in the NHL team for the Silver Knights. He will be in the next few years here. I could see him going to the NHL and being a starter. I think both these goalies will in the future. It's gonna be nice watching these guys play, especially Dylan Durant. Sorry,
but yeah, his name. That's okay.
He's probably the top goalie for me that I'm looking forward to watch.
Yeah, and do you know what? Like his numbers are basically identical to Trent Miners in Vancouver. He ended up being the BC Division finalist for the goaltender of the year. Mm-hmm. You could have picked either one, I think. So
either way, yeah. Like I said, maybe a biased opinion, I would have gave it to Durant having the better record. But he also does play in front of a much overall round team. But yeah, I mean, aside from the goalies, this team's deep. My player to watch, and I think should be on everyone's radar, is Connor Zeri, the 24th overall pick in last year's draft to the Flames. The kid's an absolute stud. Played in the 2020 season, had 86 total points in 57 games, 38 goals, 48 assists as an assistant captain for the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in last to the 2021 season, he became the captain, 15 games played, 6 goals, 18 assists, 24 points, which in that season, the only other player who I think Connor Bedard played 15 games and had 26 points or 28 points, only four more. And that kid's supposed to be the next McDavid. Connor Zeri got a chance to play in the NHL with 9 games, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points. So still putting up points, almost a point a game in the Stockton Heat, but is now back in Kamloops for his final year.
Yeah, which is really exciting news for Dub fans. Like, this guy is a certified Dubtician, and there's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, his season was ended early last year, right? He took a hit by Prince George forward, Johnny Hooker, which ended his season. But if not for that, man, he probably would have put up some crazy numbers. The other guy who might have done the same thing, Stan Coven. I know you want to talk about him. Now, the reason I say might have done the same thing is he was kind of busy just winning gold medal for Team Canada. No big deal. But
on a team that lost their first, three games?
Yeah.
It was completely written out of the tournament.
It was the U18s.
Yeah. So Stan Coven being a 2003 17-year-old.
Yeah, talk about him. We'll throw some highlights on YouTube again for these two guys as well. If you're listening on the podcast, go check it out. You can just click the timestamp. It'll be already preloaded. You'll be linked right to the highlights. You don't want to miss these. So,
no.
Go ahead, Steve. Tell us what we're missing. Yeah,
he's a first round pick from the Kamloops, 5th overall. Kamloops born kid. The hype was around this kid ever since he was 14. Living in the city, everyone was talking about him. He's an absolute stud. Played 6 games, 7 goals, 3 assists, 10 points. What more can you ask from a rookie? Putting up a goal a game, almost 2 points a game as a rookie. The kid's phenomenal. He's going to be another I believe he's with the Kamloops Blazers. They have 4 assistants, 2 at home, 2 away. So I believe he's the home assistant coming up as a young gun, right? So he's going to be the one to watch, as well with Connor Zeri. These two guys are going to be absolutely insane tandem, either a 1-2 punch or going to be playing together on the same line, which I hope. I want to see these guys playing together. But watch out, WHL. These two guys are going to be leading the race.
I can't wait. No, I was just going to say, I can't wait. I mean, I've got that game marked on my calendar. There's no doubt about it. I will be there.
100% with me as well.
It's gonna be, those guys are some top talent. Now as we talked about earlier, again, like, the because of COVID, now last year it was only the divisions playing against each other. There was a bubble in Kamloops. Steve, was it in Kamloops?
Yeah, there's a bubble in Kamloops.
Yeah, so the Kamloops bubble was just for the BC division. This year there's no bubble, so teams will play at home, but it's only the West versus the West. So
so BC division and American division versus the East division,
and then the East division. So the BC division, the American division are the West conference. Yeah. And then the Eastern conference is the rest on the other side, Alberta to Manitoba.
Alberta, Manitoba.
So we won't see the Connor Bedards, unfortunately, this year.
Not live, at least.
But there's lots of time. he's 16 now, right? He's turning 16 this year.
Yeah, he's turning. I don't know if he's 16 yet.
He might be.
He was 15. He was allowed eligibility in the WHL as a 15-year-old. So I mean, that right there just kind of tells you the kind of player he is. Other players that are allowed that 15 to be able to play were like Crosby, McDavid, top end guys. So
anyways, my point there is that Kamloops is one of the better teams to mark on your calendar to watch, and the other ones would probably be from down south, which we'll cover soon. We got them coming up.
But we have the great thing too about this team is it's not only has the depth guys like Connor Zeri and I mean, you even call Stankoven a deaf guy. He has, he's kind of a rookie, right? So, another guy to look forward to would to kind of hold the reins would be Swiss player Josh Pillar.
Yeah.
Or Pillar, I think it's Pillar. If I'm correct, he had 11 goals and 18 assists in 22 games. So he's gonna be someone that they rely on the front end. But what I'm excited about, and I hope you are too, Bron, is the rookie talent coming in here. Caden Hamill being picked up as a rookie. He's a right D. 12 goals, 29 assists, and 41 games played in his Bantam team. I think it was a U15 team. Mm-hmm. So he'll be coming in, as well as Kamloops players will know a certain, or almost all NHL players will know Dylan Sidor, so his dad being Daryl. Mm. So he's a rookie coming in as a winger as well. Someone I'm looking forward to, 5'10", 170 pounds. Only had 6 points in his 15 games played, but that was a rookie coming in. So
yeah,
I'll be excited to see him come fill, hopefully fill the shoes as his old man did in Kamloops. So
yeah,
there's some young talent as well as top tier talent in Kamloops. And to me, they're the wrecking force of the BC division, maybe even the WHL. So
yeah,
they're only getting better.
Well, like I said, there's some stiff competition down south. But yeah, those will be games to highlight. Definitely. I mean, Kamloops has an amazing, incredible roster. The only thing now, that I worry about is their front office. So, they had their longtime general manager. I think he stepped down. Mm-hmm. And then they just had their president and COO pass away suddenly. That was just a few days ago now.
Tragic.
Yeah, which is really, really sad. Mm-hmm. Obviously, our thoughts go out to the family and the organization. But those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one concerning for their future.
100%, right? It's going to be hard to replicate what they had in mind, right? What those minds were thinking and what they were doing, right? So every move, obviously, it's like chess. They move their pawns to open up another thing, to mm-hmm. open up their queens or their rook. Hopefully that the next guy to step in can fill those shoes nicely.
Yeah.
And keep this team rolling like they should be.
Yeah. Okay, man. Cool. So time for the little bit of fun part of the show, where we break down the top players from both teams. Now, Steve's gone above and beyond here. He thinks the rosters are too good to put it on one. My team is only one. Now, I want to be clear, everybody, if you're listening, this judgment is both teams combined, the roster of both teams combined. So you're combining my roster versus his roster, top line of both teams combined. So what Steve's done, so we'll, this is not the game yet, so we'll let Steve name his top roster from Kelowna and his top roster from Kamloops, and then we'll talk about the combined roster. He's also got some honorable mentions while we both do.
It was fun. I had a lot of fun looking at both these teams. Kamloops is deep, but Kelowna is also just as deep. And a lot of surprising players that I didn't know actually played for Kelowna. So I'll go ahead and start with my old Kelowna team. Most of you guys will probably know, but I have Jamie Benn on my left wing. I had Leon Draisaitl as my center and Mikael Backlund on my right wing. For my defense, I mean, how could you not go with Shea Weber and Duncan Keith? But the big honorable mentions for me, and it's really hard to, I was kind of fighting Keith with and you guys might laugh at me for saying this, but Tyson Barrie. Tyson Barrie was huge in the WHL for them. And even this year, I think he kind of got snubbed a bit, being leading the league as a defenseman in points and not having a single All-Star or Norse vote for him. I mean, I think the guy deserves a bit more. Maybe his defensive game's a little bit weak, but still being putting up that many points as defenseman and not getting any acknowledgement for it, a little sad. But also on that defense is Tyler Myers, played for Kelowna, the big defenseman for the Canucks now. He was a Kelowna player, as well as Alex Edler, long time Canucks or Canucks defenseman. Both came out of Kelowna. My goalie for them, a lot of guys probably won't know, is Kelly Gard. Kelly Gard, I'd like to talk about a little bit, because he didn't really make, for Kelowna Rocket fans in the early 90s, you guys know who he is. But he didn't make it, not early 90s, early 2000s. He led their team to the first WHL championship and a berth in the Memorial Cup tournament. He didn't go on to do much. He went and played in Europe, played in the ECHL for a bit. A little bit of the AHL. He got bounced around to Ottawa and other teams there. But he what he did in the WHL for Kelowna, I think he has to be in there. Like I said, for those who know who he is, you understand. But other than that, yeah. I mean, we'll get on to Kamloops now, and Kamloops was kind of fun there. Do you want to go on your Rockets team, or
I don't have a Rockets team. I got both combined.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'll move along to Kamloops now, and on the left wing, I got a guy you guys might know, Shane Doan. And I put someone out of position here because I don't think you can leave him out, and that's Mark Recchi. I put him as my center. I know he doesn't really play center, but that's where I would put him, because you have to have Jerome McGinley on your right wing. Right. So what can you do there? As defense, it was kind of fun going back. We kind of talked about his son a little bit, but I got Daryl Sador back there, as well as by far maybe the best WHL defenseman of all time, at least for the Blazers, Scott Niemeyer, one of the best defensemen of all time, right? And in net, I have Devin Dubnyk.
That's easy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of pushed through there. But the guys I want to talk about are guys like Darcy Tucker. Coming out, you don't think he was a top goal scorer or a guy that could create plays, but in the WHL, he did for Kamloops. He was a top scorer, right? He in the 94-95 season, he put 137 points in 64 games. So, I mean, he earned himself a spot on Team Canada's World Junior, and they got gold that year. It's just funny looking back and seeing, he's a 2-point player, and then going to the NHL, he's the tough guy, right? it's hard to kind of go through with that. Another honorable mention, another Canucks fans would know, is Nolan Baumgartner. He was a excellent two-way defender in the WHL, spent 4 years with the Blazers from 92 to 96, was a key member to back-to-back Memorial Cup championships, was drafted in 94, 10th overall by the Capitals, in 95, he was named to the Memorial Cup All-Star team for the second straight year. He was also awarded the WHL playoffs for MVP trophy and the CHL's best defenseman trophy. That's Nolan Baumgartner, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he did really well in the dub.
He did. He did not carry it long as well as we want him to, but
yeah, would have been nice to see some of those awards in Vancouver.
100%. The last two guys I want to round up here.
But now he's behind our bench.
He is. And he's a good coach. He's a good coach, right? And we're glad to have him. Two guys no worries. Last guys I want to bring in is, we would know because the Canucks drafted him 10th in the 10th round by the Canucks in 94. Tyson Nash. And then obviously Scotty Upshaw, who also played for Kamloops. So
Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah, that's probably a name you haven't heard in a while, but
yeah, well he does a podcast now. Missing Curfew with Shane O'Brien.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that'd be a good one. Shane O'Brien's got some good stories. So
yeah,
check it out. Rocks. I'll have to do that.
Yeah, it's called Missing Curfew.
I mean, yeah, that's obviously my top two teams from each. And
okay, so now following the rules and the guidelines, make your cuts.
Make my cuts.
Make your cuts. Who's your what's your all-time team look like?
Well, I'm gonna start with the goalie. I'm gonna go Dubnyk. I don't think there's either team that does anything there. I mean, he's probably one of the best goaltenders ever put the pads on for the Blazers and the Rockets. He holds the record for most shutouts as a Blazer goalie. And was drafted 14th overall in the 2004 entry draft to Edmonton, where he didn't do much in Edmonton, then got traded and kind of made a name of himself.
Yeah.
Starting on defense, though, like how can you not go with Scott Niemeyer? Like,
yeah.
He's a no-brainer to me. Had a legacy career in the WHL and in the NHL. He was insanely talented offensive defenseman in the WHL, yeah. Which is, you know, he made that like the good transition to a defensive defenseman. He won the Memorial Cup in 92 on that stacked roster. He was also the tournament MVP. His Niemeyer's 27 is also retired in both New Jersey and Anaheim. Yeah. His 28 was retired in the Blazers in 2013. Besides Scott Niemeyer, I gotta have a guy, I mean, BC bound, Sycamus. Put both BC guys together and Shea Weber, right?
Yeah.
That would be a nasty defense.
Imagine both our rosters are so far the exact same. Imagine if between all these star players, we pick the exact same roster.
I could imagine. Yeah. I gotta go, and yeah. I know is he still
start on the right wing because we picked the same the right one wing. There too. Yeah.
Oh. How do you not go with Iggy?
Yeah,
like, okay. I mean, I'm sure that's who you went with.
We're four here, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably the best forward to ever put on a Blazer jersey, and that's something insane with the talent that went through there.
So now I think this. Sorry, go ahead. Finish with it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, as I say, he had 183 games with the Blazers, put up 236 points after winning back-to-back Memorials in '94 and '95. He was drafted 11th overall by the Stars in 2005 or '95. Sorry. Which a lot of people don't understand that he wasn't drafted by Calgary,
yeah.
But he did make his whole career there. Following his draft year, he would come back to Kamloops and put home 136 points in 63 games.
Yeah.
He was named the CHL and WHL First Team All Star and was awarded WHL Player of the Year.
Yeah.
You had something to say there?
I was just gonna say, okay, so now I think we've gone player for player, where we've picked the exact same so far. I think we'll probably go in different directions for left wing. Well, maybe left wing the same, but definitely I think our centermen are going to be different. I don't think you even mentioned them at all yet.
Oh, then if
so
I
go left wing, not. Go left wing first. Go
left wing.
Yeah.
See, this is my toss up, and it's hard for me to just pick one. I spent probably about a good hour and a half to be. And and people might hate me for it, but I'm gonna put Shane Doan over Jamie Benn.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
I picked Jamie.
The reason why is what he did in the WHL, and this is a Kamloops team, and he was just a stud in the WHL. He was again on that back-to-back Memorial Cup team. That team was stacked. We have the best players and they're all on this team, right? During the 94-95 season, he tallied up 94 points in 71 games. He was named the tournament MVP. He was also selected 7th overall by Winnipeg, made his debut in the 95-96 season. That following year, the Jets moved to Phoenix and was the Phoenix Coyotes and went on to play the rest of his season with the Coyotes, being a key factor with that franchise. So,
yeah.
Jamie Benn easily could slide right in there just as well. I think he has a better NHL career, but I go with the boy Shane Doan.
I took Jamie Benn. So it's going to come down to Benn versus Doan and whoever you've chosen as center, and we'll have to let the people decide.
We'll have to. And I'm just going to make it quick and easy.
Right and now. One sec. I'm just going to be clear. You actually picked a centerman, right?
100% he's a centerman.
Okay.
Leon Draisaitl.
Fuck.
The German.
Unbelievable. This guy. We picked the exact same team. All these star players. And our teams are exactly the same. That's unbelievable. I can't believe it. So, man. I'm
the German sensation. How can you not? I mean, it's a team's depth. Like we, like I said, we went on to talk about all these players and what they did. And we have the exact same team. I mean, Duck and Keith could easily slid into that defensive spot.
And, yeah.
In my opinion, Tyson Berry. I mean, our goalies would probably be the same. Devin Dubnyk being the best. But I mean, having Darcy Mark Recchi, Darcy Tucker.
Mark Recchi, yeah, you could have slid him in there too.
Yeah, it was even guys. I mean, maybe Upshaw and Nash, a little bit of a stretch, but they still had defiant NHL careers.
Yeah.
Nolan Baumgartner as well, being what he did in the WHL itself is absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, putting up that many points, winning that was many, his hardware is huge, right? He was the captain of the team in '96. But after, I mean, he got a shoulder injury and that kind of hindered his NHL start. And then injuries kind of went from there. And they kind of floated in between the AHL and the Canucks. So
yeah,
but a great mind, like you said, he's the coach for the Canucks, the defensive coach, assistant coach for him. Great hockey mind, and I love him on our staff and the Canucks there.
But yeah,
it's crazy that we were that close on it.
Man, I can't believe it. So really, so the difference maker is Shane Doan or Jamie Benn. Really? Who would you rather have on your team? Yeah, that's it. And everyone else. Like,
well, I must say, people are gonna go with you. Maybe I'm a little bit more of an old soul.
I actually had Tyson Berry on my back end, and then I switched him out for Shea Weber.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, Tyson Berry, I think, is what he. I remember hearing about him coming out of there and the crazy things he did as a offensive defenseman. Just the way he could skate was bar none better than anyone else on the ice he played against. And going end to end, making these plays, his eyesight. And like I said, even led the NHL in points this past year, give and take. It was a weird COVID year and whatever, but I don't think he gets the respect he deserves.
Right. I agree. That was epic, man.
Yeah. I'm surprised we're that close. I thought we have completely different teams.
I thought so too. With all those names, I thought we'd have.
I know.
I mean, I knew we'd have Niedermeyer and Ginla.
Yeah. No, it's like how
did you mention Draisaitl in your first Kelowna team?
Yep, I had Jamie Benn, Draisaitl, Michael Backlund is my.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
So when you said that, I was like, "Oh, I wonder who you were taking."
Yeah.
No. Was I really mistaken? So
I just missed that.
That's all good.
I was probably reading my lineup.
But I want to hear what you guys have to say. Maybe you guys have something completely different. Maybe you guys do go with maybe Tyler Myers or a Tyson Berry or a Nolan Baumgartner, maybe even, right? I think it kind of maybe depends more so of when you're born. Maybe a lot of the older guys might lean more so to the Shane Doan, maybe a little bit more to my team with, you know, the guys a little younger going for the Jamie Benn.
Yeah, Shane who?
Shane. I would have no idea who that guy is, but... yeah, I mean, I want to see everyone's opinion on Instagram, on YouTube, on everything. So see what you guys have to say.
Yeah, if you're watching it, let us know. Definitely pop on. So cool. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening. Steve, thank you very much for opinions. Always much appreciated and loved.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I love doing this and looking forward to the rest of these teams.
Who do we have on deck next year? We're going south, aren't we? Or next week. And we're going Prince George and Everett, I think.
Prince George Everett? I think so. Let's see here. Give me half a second. Pull it up.
Yeah, Prince George and Everett.
Yep.
We're also going live. I mean, if you're listening to this, then we're going to be going live on Facebook next week, and we're going to be debating whether or not Gary Bettman deserves the boos he receives every year at the draft. So that'll be a fun one. Definitely tune in for that. You can comment live on Facebook. We're going to record it there and post it up on the podcast afterwards. So if you have an opinion, please let it be known in the comment section and Steve and I can appropriately discuss. So yeah. Once again, thanks for coming on behalf of Puck and Flamingos. Keep your skate on the ice, and we'll see you guys next week.
Don't be a flamingo, kids.